Well, I think a lot of us in our lives, we try to minimize or downplay or at times even deny these fears, these hidden fears that we have. You know, it's kind of this who? Me? You know, afraid? You know, there's no way. I'm not scared, especially us guys, you know, because we're so tough, we're so macho, all these things. It's like, yeah, I'm not scared of anything. I'm not afraid. I mean, bring it on. And I would put myself in this camp. You know, I've lived a lot of my life trying to, you know, downplay and just try to act like, you know, the fears of my, they're just no big deal. But I'm becoming increasingly convinced that we all, to varying degrees, that we all struggle with these hidden fears. And when we talk about these fears, these hidden fears, I'm not talking so much or necessarily about the fear of being afraid for our physical safety. I mean, that's an issue sometimes, but that's not really what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is more these hidden internal fears, these emotional fears. Now, a lot of us, we don't really think that we struggle with fears because we don't use that terminology. We don't use the word, I'm afraid, or I've got fear in my life. The words that we would typically use maybe are, I'm concerned, I'm uptight, I'm worried, I'm annoyed, I'm uncomfortable, I'm stressed. But those are all words that actually convey fear. You see, a lot of us, we don't perceive ourselves as dealing with fears in our life. The reality is these hidden fears are affecting us a lot more than we realize and a lot more than we even begin to care to admit. And another way to think of these hidden fears is to think of them as buttons. I mean, we've all had our button pushed at some time or another. We know what that's all about. And what happens when our button gets pushed? We react, and we want to go after the person, or we retreat. We withdraw. It's kind of this fight or flight type deal. That's what we're talking about here. What we're talking about are the feelings, the thoughts inside of us that trigger a defensive or a protective reaction on our part. And there are all kinds of different fears. They come in all kinds of different shapes. Fear of rejection, the fear of being controlled, the fear of being unloved, unwanted, the fear of being abandoned, of insignificance, of inadequacy. There are all these different fears that we struggle with. I mean, think about it. Any time that we worry, anytime, that's really fear. It's manifesting itself in our lives. Fear of failure is another fear that a lot of people struggle with. Fear of failing on our job, in our career. Fear of failing in our marriage. Fear of failing in our parenting. It's just fear. A lot of guys actually struggle with this fear of failure. It's one of my core fears. Now, what's interesting about this fear of failure is that a lot of times we do a really good job at camouflaging it under a drive to succeed. We have this drive, this passion, sometimes almost an addiction to succeed. But what's really driving this determination to succeed at its core is really just a fear of failure. And so we live our lives trying to prove our worth, trying to prove that we're somebody because we don't want to fail. And when we pursue these accomplishments and we accomplish all these things, we're involved in all these activities. I mean, some of us, we're cramming our lives so full of things, so full of activities and stuff, we're not really enjoying any of it. And our kids aren't enjoying it. They're not enjoying the things that they're doing. I mean, we're headed 100 different directions, and we think a lot of times that we don't even have a choice. I mean, it just seems to be what life is about, or this is just a season of life, and then, you know, it's going to change. But we look around, and everybody else seems to be kind of doing the same thing. And in spite of the fact that we have this busy, hectic, chaotic schedule, a lot of times, we just keep adding on more and more and more stuff. And eventually, we end up overloaded, worn out, exhausted, a lot of times irritable. We start getting short with people. We begin to skim relationally. We begin to skim spiritually. Our relationships start getting frayed. We're busy. We're accomplishing all kinds of things. But our life is hollow. We're miserable. Miserable. And you know what's interesting? We keep doing it. We keep doing it. I mean, we may take one thing off our plate, but then we add three more on. And what's interesting is nobody sets out to go, you know, I want to live with more stress. That's kind of my goal in life. I want to have a lot more stress. Or I want to be so busy that that my relationships suffer from it. I want to be so uptight, so on edge, that everybody around me walks around on eggshells. Or so on edge that when I come home in the evenings and my kids in the house hear the garage door going up, they kind of cringe because dad's home. Wow, nobody wants that. So why do we do it? Why do we keep adding more and more stuff, more activities, more responsibilities onto our lives? Why do we do that? Well, you may disagree, and there's certainly other factors involved, like discipline, lack of discipline, those type of things, but at its core, the primary reason, the primary driver behind us doing so many things, upping our pace and our spending and having all these things jammed into already busy schedule, I would argue the primary driver behind that is fear. It's really all about fear. It's a fear for some of us that we're going to miss out on something, or that our kids are going to miss out on something. You know, if I don't say yes, if I don't sign up for this, if I don't go to this thing, I'm going to miss out. Or we're afraid that we're going to fall behind. Because we're always comparing ourselves to everybody else. We compare what we wear and what we drive and where we live, the kind of house we have, where we vacation, what we do with our schedule. Or maybe we're not afraid that we're going to fall behind, but we're married to someone who's afraid that we're going to fall behind. They're constantly pushing and pushing and pushing. We're afraid that we're not going to be accepted, or that our kids aren't going to be accepted. We're afraid that we won't be able to have certain things. We won't be able to do certain things, or we won't be able to provide certain things for our family, for our kids. I mean, just think of the things that we tell ourselves in our mind, or the things that we just actually say. You know, I'm afraid that if I don't keep my kid, if I can't keep him on this team, he won't make the varsity team in high school. I'm afraid that if I don't take on this extra project they want me to take on, I won't get that raise. I won't get the promotion. I was planning on using that raise to pay for vacation in Hawaii next year. I'm afraid that if I don't accept this invitation to this event, this will happen. I'm afraid if I don't keep my kids involved in these activities. And without realizing it, a lot of us are allowing our fears, these hidden fears in our life that some of us we're not even aware of, we're allowing these hidden fears to drive our lives. Now, these fears, these hidden fears, they don't just affect the pace and schedule of our life and our spending and all those things. And they undermine our confidence. They undermine our relationships, our peace of mind. They lead to stress, exhaustion. They lead to all kinds of unhealthy patterns at times. As we're talking about workaholism, addictions. Sometimes it causes to pass up promotions, opportunities that come around. Oh, I'm afraid. What if I can't do it? What if I fall flat on my face? It clouds our judgment when we're making the decisions. The bottom line is these fears, they mess with us a lot more than we realize. And a lot of times they can become roadblocks to trusting God and experiencing His best for our lives. But fortunately, we're not left to ourselves to try to figure this whole hidden fears thing out. God speaks very clearly and actually very directly to this issue. So if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Matthew in the New Testament, Matthew 6. Now, Matthew is one of the Gospels, one of the accounts. There are four accounts, kind of mini biographies of the life of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is the first one. Chapter 6 is right in the middle of the most famous of Jesus' sermons. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount because Jesus was standing on the side of it. Simply call that because Jesus was standing on the side of the mountain, big crowd of people there. And these three chapters, chapter 5, 6, 7, is just full of all kinds of just incredible, incredible insight. What I want us to notice today is three things from this section of Scripture that we need to do if we're going to find confidence and keep these hidden fears from driving our lives and undermining our relationships. The first thing that we need to do is we need to consciously replace our fears with trust. We need to consciously replace our fear with trust, but not just trust in anything or anyone. We need to replace our fear with a trust in God. Make sure you get that. Our trust is in God. Now, I say consciously because a lot of us are allowing our lives to be driven by fear subconsciously. It's not that we're aware of it. It's not that we're trying to say, oh, I want fears driving my life. It's a subconscious thing. These fears or worries, these concerns are driving lives, and we don't even realize it. So we need to identify the hidden fears and worries, and what we need to do is we need to get them out in the open. Now, last week, we gave you a handout as you left to help you identify these hidden fears. And there were some questions, there were some statements there. We asked you to go home and to check those and figure out what are those hidden fears. And then to not just look at all the lists of different ones, but then to pick out what are the top five core fears that you struggle with the most. And then we said that there are typically reactions to those fears. We asked you to identify those reactions. I hope that you did that, because all of this, really dealing with this in your life, is predicated on being able to understand and identify these are the fears, not just this nebulous, yeah, I have some fears in there. We need to peg, we need to identify what those fears are. So if you didn't pick one up, if you didn't do that, and we're going to have those sheets kind of available as you leave today on the table back there, so be sure you pick that up. But look at what Jesus says in this passage of Scripture about this consciously replacing fear with a trust in God. Beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry." Here he goes. And worry is again, it's just another word for fear. I mean, for some of us, it sounds better, I worry, but it's fear. So do not worry, do not be afraid, is basically what he's saying, about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Now, in our culture here in the United States, 2014, we don't worry about those kind of things much, do we? I mean, think about it. Let's be honest. When was the last time in your life where you're like, oh man, I am so thirsty and so hungry. If I don't get some water, if I don't get some food, I'm gonna die. And you were literally meant you were gonna like croak, like die. I mean, we may say that, but we don't, you know, that's not reality. That's not really gonna happen. When was the last time? If I don't get some better clothes, I am gonna freeze to death. Because I need the right clothes for the elements of the weather. You know, those aren't worries that in all reality we typically struggle with and we worry about. But while we may not worry about those things, we worry, though, don't we? We worry. We have a different set of worries. But we worry. We worry about whether or not we're going to be able to get our house remodeled before Christmas. We worry about whether we're going to close that deal at work or not, because we were going to use that raise to buy something, or that paycheck. As you said earlier, we worry about missing out, or our kids missing out. We worry about falling behind. We're afraid that we won't have certain things, we won't be able to do certain things, we won't be able to provide certain things for our family, for our kids. Sometimes we stretch ourselves so thin financially that we begin to worry, and we get all uptight about financial stuff in our life. You know, do I pay this bill right here, or do I pay this? I think I can put this one off, but I think they'll wait, but I better get this one paid, or they're cutting off the utility. You know, we worry about that. We worry about what people think in our life. We're about what our boss thinks, what the people we work with, what our friends, what our neighbors think. We worry. And yet God says, don't worry. Don't worry. Trust me. Instead of living with these worries, trust me. It goes on. Jesus says in verse 26, says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. It's like he gives us an object lesson here. He says, look at the birds. I mean, they don't wear themselves out working and saving food for the future, for a rainy day. And yet, look at this. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not, look at this. Are you not much more valuable than they? Are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer is yes. Yes, yes, of course you are. You are so much more valuable than the birds of the air. You see, you need to live with that awareness. I mean, you are one of God's prized creations. You are an image bearer. You are made in the very image of God. He loved you so much that he sent his son into this world, gave up, Jesus gave up the splendor of heaven to come into this world and ultimately to die on a cross to pay for your sins and my sins, our wrongdoing, so we could have a relationship with God, so we could experience his love, so we could have the life that he meant for us. We are of so much value. And what he's getting at here is, do you get that? Do you understand? Do you really understand how valuable you are? And then he tries to hammer this home again from another angle. In verse 27, goes on and says, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? All of our worrying and fretting, it can't even help us manufacture or add one single hour to our life, to our day. He's trying to help us see that our worrying really doesn't accomplish anything significant, anything positive in our lives. All it does is wear us out and stress us out. You see, worry doesn't change anything, does it? When we live with these hidden fears, it doesn't change anything. It just makes us miserable. And then in turn, we typically make everybody miserable around us. I mean, that's all it really does. He's trying to get this to sink in for us. Goes on in verse 28, and Jesus says, and why do you worry about clothes? And he gives us another example of the uselessness of worrying. He says, see how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, who was the wisest king in the Old Testament, but also the wealthiest king, I mean, he had just staggering wealth. He could have bought anything he wanted, any clothes. I mean, he could have had everything, his underwear, custom design, tailor design for him. I mean, that's the wealth that this guy had. And you know, it says, yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, I tell you that not even Solomon, in all of his splendor, was dressed like one of these. In verse 30, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Saying, hey, if God clothes and takes care of the flowers of the field, don't you think, come on, don't you think that he's going to take care of you? And then he moves on and he gives a hint of what the real issue is. He says, oh, you of little faith. It's a faith thing. This whole worry, this whole fear issue is really a faith, a trust issue. Verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or whatever it is that you worry about or whatever, what shall we wear? Verse 32, for the pagans, and that's kind of an archaic term that most of us, we don't use much, but it's talking about the pagans, those who have not surrendered their hearts and their lives to God. They run after all these things. Yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He's saying you don't have to fret and worry and let fear drive your life. Your heavenly Father, who loves you and cares about you, he knows what you need. So trust him. Trust him. God created us to trust and depend on him. But instead of trusting and depending on God, a lot of us start turning to our spouses or to our boss or to friends for our happiness and to meet our needs. But ultimately, only God can really meet our deepest needs. So when we start putting pressure on people to meet these needs, that the reality is they can't fully meet, what happens is that begins to strain relationships. And you know, almost all of us, we fall into that at one time or another. We start expecting our spouse, we start expecting others to meet needs that they just can't meet. And the reason for that is that fear kicks in us. We're afraid that these needs, that they're not going to be met. And so we start doing things to get this other person in our life to change so that they will meet our needs, so we will get our needs met. You know, if they would just quit doing this, if they would just start doing this, if they would just do things differently, then everything would be fine. Then I'd be happy. Our relationship would be great. We can't change somebody else. We need to understand that. We need to realize that. That's what we keep doing. When there's a conflict, we almost invariably move to, if they would just, we can't change somebody else. All we can do with God's help is change ourselves. So what we need to do is we need to take responsibility, personal responsibility for our own fears and our own worries. Instead of putting pressure on others to eliminate these fears that we have, these worries, these concerns that we have in life, we need to turn to God and we need to trust God that He is going to meet these needs in our lives. God says, trust me. I know what you need. You see, that's really the issue. Are we going to trust God? Are we going to trust God, or are we going to let our fears drive our lives and keep wrecking our relationships by putting pressure on others to make us healthy, to meet our needs, to offset these fears that we have? Are we going to trust God, or are we going to keep running ourselves crazy, pursuing all these things because we're afraid we're going to miss out on something? We're not going to be accepted. We might fail. Are we going to trust God, or are we going to trust our career? How much we make, the house that we have, or the car that we have? What are we going to trust? Are we going to entrust our kids to God? Or are we going to put our trust in all the activities that we can get them in to lead to fulfillment and contentment? And inner joy and contentment in their life. What are we going to trust? Are we going to trust our kids to these activities? Is that what ultimately is going to get them where they need to go in life? Is that what we're going to trust in? Are we going to trust our kids to God? So we need to consciously replace these fears with a trust in God. But then the second thing that we see in this section of Scripture that we need to do, if we're going to find the confidence God wants us living with and not have these hidden fears driving our lives and undermining our relationships, number two is we need to pursue God as the priority of our lives. We need to center our life in God. We need to center our life in Jesus. It goes on in verse 33, and Jesus says, but seek first His or God's kingdom. But seek first God's kingdom and His, God's righteousness, and all these things that we worry about, all these things that we get so bent out of shape, or all these needs that we keep trying to pressure people in our lives to meet in our lives, and all these fears that we struggle with, that we want others to get rid of for us. He said, all these things will be given to you as well. God will take care of those things. So it says, seek first God's kingdom. Now, at times, when Scripture refers to the kingdom of God, it's referring specifically to God's eternal kingdom in heaven. But right here, and in multiple other places, when it refers to the kingdom of God, it's referring to all that Jesus was and is doing on earth and in heaven right now, and what He's doing in and through our lives, as well as what He's going to do throughout eternity. So what it's saying here in essence is seek first, not second, not third, not fourth, not tenth. Seek first the things of God. That needs to be the priority, to seek first the things of God. In other words, prioritize Jesus and all that He is about in your life. Make your life about Jesus. Make your life about pursuing God. If we're going to counteract these fears, these worries. And then it says, and seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Now, righteousness refers to doing the right things. That's what righteousness is all about, doing the right things. It's talking about living our lives, doing what is right in God's eyes. And not in a legalistic way. Not because we feel guilty and, oh, I gotta do it. But because it makes sense, because it's the best way to live. So when worries, when fears creep in, when our fear buttons get pushed, instead of reacting in an unhealthy and self-focused way, I need to respond with godly integrity. I need to respond with righteousness. When our fear buttons get pushed, though, what do we typically do? When our fear buttons get pushed, typically, we're tempted to respond in all kinds of unhealthy ways. Our fear buttons get pushed, we want to get back at them. We get back at the person that pushed our fear button. We want to put them in their place. We want to tell them off. Or we want to pull away and withdraw and just kind of let them stew for a while. I'll just let them suffer, you know, in their misery. What we need to do is we need to determine that whatever we do, we want to honor God. We need to keep our hearts soft and responsive to God. That's responding in righteousness, not just to give in to whatever our predictable knee-jerk reaction is when our fear buttons get pushed. But to say, God, I want to honor you here. We need to learn to ask ourselves, God, how can I respond in this situation when my fear button gets pushed? How can I respond with godly integrity? How can I, in this situation, how can I be true to myself and true to Jesus as a Christ follower? In this situation, as my fears are surfacing here, these hidden fears, what would be the most God-honoring way to respond in this situation? And this is just so important. Don't just do what makes you feel good in the moment. What we need to do is we need to do what's right. What we can do with integrity. What is most honoring to God. Now, last week, I talked about a fear cycle. This kind of fear dance thing that a lot of us fall into in our relationships. And understanding this, I talked about this last week, has been so helpful for Melody and me, my wife Melody and me, just kind of working through some issues and struggles in our marriage. And so I want to go back and I want to kind of walk through that real quick. I gave you last week, here it is up here on the screen. I gave you this example. Here's how the fear cycle works. When somebody's, well, we'll just put this up. If somebody has a fear, let's say one of their core fears is the fear of being controlled. So their fear button gets pushed for some reason. And when our fear button gets pushed, what happens is we tend to react. Now, there are a lot of different ways that we can react to things. One of the common reactions to our fear of being controlled, to that fear button getting pushed, is to withdraw. And we may withdraw. There are a lot of fears, like I said, but we might withdraw. Now, when we withdraw, we may do that by just isolating ourselves. We do that by burying ourselves in work. There are a lot of ways to do that. But let's say that the other person's, one of their core fears is the fear of abandonment. So guess what? When you withdraw, if you're in a relationship with them and you withdraw, that pushes their fear button. And so all of a sudden, then they react. Now let's say their knee-jerk reaction or their natural reaction, one of their core reactions to their fear of abandonment is to pursue. Again, it could be escalate, it could be others, but let's say that they pursue. They kind of start smothering you. Now, if your fear is, one of your core fears is a fear of being controlled, when they start pursuing you, what happens? Your fear button gets pushed again, and you just keep cycling round and round and round. But the reality is our fear cycle or our individual fear dance looks a lot more complicated than this because we have multiple core fears. So it really looks more like this. We have these different fears that are going on all the time. But what's interesting is that not only do we tend to fall into this fear cycle in our relationship with people, but a lot of times we do the same thing with God. The same thing with God. Look at this. We superimpose God up here. And see, what happens a lot of times when our fear button gets pushed, and let's just say it's the fear of failure gets pushed, and so we react by rationalizing, maybe beating ourselves up or withdrawing, distancing ourselves. We do that with people, but what's amazing is we do so many times when we're not aware of these fear buttons getting pushed in our life, we do the same thing with God. And we begin to withdraw. We begin to distance ourselves a lot of times from God instead of running to the one who knows us and loves us and understands us best. We react and pull away. Now, obviously, God doesn't have a fear button and he doesn't react. What God says is, I'm not going to fight with you. I love you. I mean, I care about you. The safest place for us to turn and run when our fear buttons get pushed is to God. And yet so many times in our life, rather than trusting God and turning to God and running to him, we pull away. And we withdraw from God, the very safest place to turn, the one who cares about us and loves us the most. See, it's really about trust. So we need to decide in advance that even when our fear button gets pushed, that we're going to pursue God as a priority of our lives. You see, the real issues are we going to trust and follow God, or are we going to keep doing the same goofy, crazy things that we've been doing when our fear buttons get pushed and keep expecting some kind of different results? You keep reacting in the same way every time your fear button gets pushed, and you're going to get the same results that you've always had. We've got to trust that as we prioritize God, and as we respond in righteousness with integrity in our relationships, that God is going to come through, because he's for us and he says he will meet our needs. So we need to pursue God as the priority of our life. And then the third thing that we see in this section of scripture that we need to do, if we're going to find confidence and keep these hidden fears from driving our lives and undermining our relationships, number three, and you've heard this, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to understand that this is biblical, okay? So number three, we need to limit our focus to the next 24 hours. We need to limit our focus. When these fear buttons, when all these fears start creeping and these hidden fears, we need to limit our focus just the next 24 hours. Look at what Jesus says in verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day, today, has enough trouble of its own. He's saying, don't let the fears and worries about the future drive your life today. Don't let your fears, don't let your worries undermine your confidence today. Don't let your fears undermine your relationships. Don't let them undermine your peace of mind. What we need to do is we need to like purposely put on blinders. You know, like you've probably seen horses with blinders on their eyes, typically racing horses they use, or horses with carriages and stuff. Apparently, it's my understanding, the reason they do that is to keep the horses from getting spooked, or to keep the horses from getting distracted. What we need to do in our lives is we need to do the same things. We need to put on blinders. We need mental blinders to keep from projecting out into the future. We need to limit how far out we look when these worries surface in our lives. And yet in my life, oh goodness, I fall into this so many times. I will start worrying. My fears will kick in, and I'll start thinking, projecting out a month, 6 months, a year, 2 years. And, you know, what if this happened? You know, man, this might possibly happen. This could possibly happen, or that might possibly happen. And man, I'm projecting it. I just start getting more and more uptight about the whole deal. We need to reel it all in. We need to just pull it back in. Limit it all. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We certainly don't know what's going to happen next month, next year, 2 years. We don't know. So we need to put on these mental blinders. We need to limit our focus just the next 24 hours. We need to focus on today. What can I do today? Yeah, you know, if you want to plan, but don't get so caught up and bent out of shape over what might happen, what could possibly happen, what somebody might do, that it destroys your day today. I mean, we kind of live with this, you know, what if she goes into this controlling, manipulating thing again? Just live in today. Don't worry about what might happen way on out. You know, what if he starts doing the controlling thing that he always does? Just live in today. What if I don't get this project done by the end of the month? Oh, no. Just live in today. Just live in today. What can you do today? Just do what you can do today, but don't worry, don't fret, don't get all uptight about everything else. When we project out into the future with our fears, our worries, it just wreaks havoc in our lives and makes us uptight, and it begins to overflow into our relationships. And you've probably heard, read the serenity prayer. Look at this. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. You see, what it really comes down to is, are we going to trust God one day at a time? Are we going to trust God one day at a time? That's what we need to do. We need to trust God just one day at a time. Just trust God. In the next 24 hours, I need to trust God today. Do what I can do. I need to trust God today, just one day at a time. When the fear serves, when these fears creep in, just trust God. One day at a time. Now, we're going to pray here in just a second. We'll wrap up. But here's what I want to encourage you to do this week. When that fear button gets pushed in you, and I hope that you'll take the time to identify what those core fears are in your life. When that fear button gets pushed, or when these hidden fears, they begin to sneak in, to creep in to your life, slow down. Don't just blast past it and ignore. Slow down. Identify that fear. And then seek God's face. Seek God and ask God in the moment, ask God for his help. And say, God, in this moment, God, help me to respond differently to these hidden fears, this fear in my life. God, in this moment, help me to replace this fear with a trust in you. Help me replace my fear with a trust that you're going to meet my need, that you're going to help me respond in a different way. God, in this moment, help me to respond in a righteous way, in a way that honors you and honors the people around me, the people that I'm in relationship with, and is honoring to me. And next week, I'm going to come back and we're going to pull all this together, and I'm going to talk very specifically and practically about when our fear button gets pushed, and we're in this fear dance. How do we keep from reacting in an unhealthy way? How do we keep that from happening? So that instead of reacting in an unhealthy way, we react in a constructive, in a healthy way, in a way that is honoring to God, to us, and to the people that we're in relationship with. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, you don't want us living our lives driven by these hidden fears, with our fear buttons getting pushed and us reacting and responding in all kinds of unhealthy ways. God, you want us to live lives of confidence that energize us and strengthen our relationships. You want us to live trusting you, live by faith. So God, instead of allowing these hidden fears to push us to live lives at this crazy pace because we're afraid that we're going to miss out, we're going to fall behind what everybody else is doing and what they have, or trying to live, constantly prove that we're really somebody, and so we're constantly trying to accomplish all these things and adding more things onto our plate. Instead of our relationships getting messed up, help us to trust you, God, to replace these fears with a trust that you can meet our deepest needs, and really only you. Help us to realize that it's only as we prioritize you in our lives that our deepest longing for love and acceptance and wholeness is going to be met. If you're here today and you never prioritized Jesus in your life, you never opened your life up to him, and you've known about Jesus, you've gone to church, but really, really, you've never prioritized Jesus. If that's you, could do that today, right where you are, and pray something like this. Say, God, I don't want these hidden fears driving my life anymore. I don't want to live my life constantly in this performance mode, afraid that I'm going to fall behind, that I'm going to miss out on something, you know, living with a hectic pace of life because these fears are driving me. I don't want that anymore. God, forgive me for thinking that anything other than you could meet my deepest need, could satisfy my soul and my inner being. I forgive me for the fears in my life, for not trusting you And you say, God, today I'm putting my trust, my faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross to pay for my sins, my wrongdoings. God, I accept your gift of forgiveness and of eternal life. I want Jesus to be the priority of my life. I want to prioritize him and follow him from here on. And then would you pray and say, God, I want to trust you one day at a time. God, help me to limit my focus. When these fear buttons get pushed, these hidden fears creep in, help me to limit my focus to today, to just the next 24 hours, not to project out, but to reel that in. God, help me to understand that you're in control. Keep my heart responsive to you. When these fear buttons get pushed, so that I respond differently, so that I respond in a healthy, in a constructive way that honors you and honors those I'm in relationship with. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.